When we start out each semester on campus, we show this slide presentation at a welcome party while they're eating. And so I thought I'd just use it to kind of introduce our session today. I'm Ray Cotton. Grew up in Pennsylvania. Spent 8 years in Uncle Sam's big canoe club called the U.S. Navy. While I was stationed at Treasure Island, San Francisco Bay, John Crawford had a nav home in Oakland, and Harv Cox was living in the home, coming out to TI. There was a Bible study advertised up in the chapel, and I had been searching for, a number of years before. In fact, towards the end of my first enlistment, I would sit out on the fantail of the ship that I was on, watching the wake just disappear as if the ship had never been there. You know, the wake would go out, the sea would come in, and you'd never know the ship had crossed the ocean. And I'm thinking, well, that's a lot what my life is like. What meaning does it have? And so I had all these grandiose ideas. I was in electronics. I thought I'll go work for Radio Free Europe or something like that. And but I got out and was going to go to university and decided, nah, I like the Navy, so 60 days later, I went to Philly and re-enlisted, and they sent me across country to Treasure Island. Saw this advertisement for a Bible study, went up, and Harv Cox was leading it. I was the only one that showed up, so you know what happened. he asked me, of course, if I was a Christian, and I said, well, yeah, I go to church. And then he asked me some of the harder questions, you know, like, if I died tonight, would I go to be with God? And I wasn't so sure about that. And so after his sharing a lot of verses and spending some time with me, about 2 weeks later, after they turned the bunks out at night, I wasn't a brave guy, so I waited till the lights went out, crawled out of my bunk, got on my knees, and told the Lord I needed him and asked him into my life. And so my early years was discipled through Harv and other guys around the ministry. Then left the Navy, went to Glen Eyrie, worked in the computer department there for a few years. During that time, met my wife, or later became my wife, headed off to school. I was in campus ministry with the Navigators in the university. During that time, we had a great program. Over 100 students in Bible study and stuff like that. But, you know, to this day, I can't even tell you if there were international students on that campus. There must have been, but I was completely oblivious to it. I never even thought of international students. I was busy, you know, reaching American students for Jesus Christ and discipling them. And sadly, I say, I don't even know if there were students from other countries there. And then after that, I was ended up down in Dallas with Probe Ministries. You might have heard Kirby Anderson on the radio from Probe Ministries anyway for 20 years. And then during that years, I was working in administration and finance and wanted to have a more personal ministry, so started volunteering, being a friendship partner to international students. And then about 6 years ago, came on staff full-time with International Students Incorporated out of Colorado Springs, another of the 100 or so evangelical ministries out of Colorado Springs. ISI is one of the originals, goes way back. And serving at the University of Texas at Dallas with that ministry. And I'm going to let Bo introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Bo.
B-O.
Well, I guess I came to the U.S. in 1988, went through high school, college. Now I'm working. Been working with Ray at UTD, I guess, a couple of years now, something like that. And this is my first time to come to this conference, and I'm glad to be here, and it's great. So thanks.
Interesting. The first question, I've been around Bo here this week. The first question everybody asks Bo is, how's your family? He's from Sri Lanka. And they're okay. But the interesting story is Bo was going to go home Your mother's birthday is what day?
December 23rd.
December 23rd is his mom's birthday. He was planning to go home for his mom's birthday. They were all going to go to the beach and enjoy her birthday. But because of the airline cost, the airline was it?
Yeah.
Mostly, and Christmas schedules and work, he moved it up to November. So he went home in November, and they went down to the beach and celebrated and all that in November instead of over Christmas. And you know the rest of the story. So God's provision for him there. How many of you are involved in campus ministry of some type? Okay.
A little bit.
How many are directly involved with campus ministry to international students? Oh, wow. Great. Well, we got a lot of authority here. This is a workshop. So, Pipe up. You have something to offer. You know, plug in because that's what this is all about. So, first of all, Bo, if I have you man the flip chart. First of all, why is international student ministry important? Why do I somewhat regret that all those years in campus ministry many years ago that I didn't even think about international student ministry? What is strategically important about reaching international students? What are some ideas?
They're missionaries in their own society when they go home. You pray that the person that's all from that problem, an insider.
Okay, if when they go back home, they're automatically an insider. What does that mean? What are some sub-points under that? The fact that they, when they do go back home, if they go back home as a Christian, what's the advantage or the difference between my going over there and a student going back to his home country?
They have a culture, they have a language, they have
relationships. Relationships, culture, language, boy, he's got it down.
And family.
And family. Part of relationships, I would say. But language. Yeah, think how many years typical missionaries spend having to learn the language before they even really start a ministry going overseas. And they're going back already having that down. What else?
Well, this is similar. They're insiders, but they're very influential.
Okay.
I found a lot of the students that come here to study. I mean, they're going. I've known of people who sit here who become prime ministers or very influential people in the government.
Okay. They say those that have done statistics that 25% of the international students studying in this country end up in some either business leadership, corporate company, government, military, education system, go back and in an influential position in their country. And even if they don't go back as a Christian, even having a positive influence from Christians makes a world of difference. We had one, can't think of the country right now. I think it was Chile. That the guy was in the U.S. studying, never became a Christian, but went back and became the head of the education system in Chile. And became the deciding person of Wycliffe being able to stay in that country as a mission group because of the positive influence that Christians had on him while he was here. And
give the story of Fidel Castro.
The opposite story, yeah. The other side of that coin. You know, Fidel Castro was here and had a very poor experience. Pardon? I don't know all the details of it. Do you know any more?
One of the international friendship partners meetings, they were talking about that Fidel Castro had come to the United States to go to school, and no one ever invited him home, no one ever befriended him, no one ever took time to because of their aloofness, and they would not, you know, they just wouldn't. And so when communism came along and offered something and people would relate to him, he said, aha, you know, these people will relate. And so he went in that direction. And basically his bitterness showed up in his relationship with the United States from then on, once he became, came to power. And evidently that bitterness is still there. And for low these maybe, what, 50 years or something?
Yeah, here's another interesting story. Bob, you probably know, I think I've met him at one point, but I can't, Dr. Bob and Mary, is it Tossing? They used to be around the Nat, or?
Tossing?
Tossing, yeah. This is email from Mary. She said, I was representing ISI at a local church missions conference last month. An African came up to me and said, America spends a fortune sending missionaries to Africa to reach us for Christ, but when we come to America, they do not want to have anything to do with us. That's what happened to me. And so I got this email, or I was telling Mary about that on the email, and she came responded back and said, she was in an African immigration office. They were missionaries in Africa. Was in a immigration office when a man who just completed his PhD in America came into the office. When asked how he liked America, the man exploded. I hate Americans. In visiting with the man, Mary learned that all the while he was in America, he had never been invited into an American home. He had no American friends. There was no one in America that he would ever contact again. And although he had seen churches, no one had ever invited him to attend one. What a sad commentary on the American Christian community. He received an education in America, but never experienced anyone reaching out to him with hospitality or the love of Christ. Another Nigerian who returned home after getting his degree in America was offered a tract by a Christian Nigerian. He responded, "Don't talk to me about Christianity. I've been to Christian America." But there is a good ending to the story. By God's design and mercy, when this man returned to America for another degree, he received the Lord through a TV program. He was encouraged, loved, discipled by American Christians, and is now serving the Lord in Nigeria. So regardless, there, you know, the hope's there. Okay, back to our, the influence that they can have.
Another reason to relate to them is because they're lost.
Amen. Every soul is precious in God's eyes. I think what makes the international student in America is, someone once said, every soul is precious, but some souls are more strategic. In other words, we want to reach, obviously, everyone we can, but we want to try to reach those who have the most potential to reach others and influence others. And so we need to constantly keep in mind, are we trying to reach those who are in a strategic position to multiply our ministry, whether we're talking about people in our community, our church, or wherever. Okay? Any other ideas?
I think that the people need to know that they're accepted, mm-hmm. and they're into a new culture, and they need help. They need to know that someone can meet some of their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Minister to them. They need to know that there are answers that they don't have, and they're new.
Right, okay. Those of you involved in campus ministry, international or not, what do they tell you about the importance of when do you have to really hit it to reach the students?
As soon as they get there.
As soon as they get there, in the first half of the freshman year. Why?
It's a very impressionable time for them. I mean, they've got a lot of needs during that time, and you can really help meet their needs, and they'll really remember that.
Right. I remember when I was in the NAB ministry up there. Boy, that first semester as a freshman, they're in transition. They're leaving all their relationships behind. They're looking for new relationships. And what happens after that first or second semester of the freshman year? That they get busy, and what else?
Well, they make
they start establishing a peer circle. And so it's whatever peer circle that they're going to end up in that's often going to determine their morality and lifestyle through the rest of their college years. You probably, many of you at college, you experience that yourself. And so if their circle of friends is Christians, that's going to make the world a difference in both their coming to Christ and their values through their college years. Well, it's the same way with international students. They're coming in, they're just, you talk about transition. You know, they're not just transitioning from a couple hundred miles away. They're transitioning culture and everything. It is the ideal time to reach them. What else?
A good verse to that is Isaiah 43:4. I looked on my right hand, and behold, no one would know me. Refuge failed me. No one cared for my soul.
Wow, that's good. Write that with that Isaiah.
Psalms 143:4. You're there alone, and maybe no one cares. They cry themselves to sleep at night in their bed.
Amen. Yeah, I remember one girl was sharing with me. She came in on, it was the day before New Year's. She came in as a new student for spring semester and got here the day before New Year's. And I remember her telling me she just cried herself to sleep for all through that weekend. There was nobody. I mean, they just, at our campus, there's no dorms. It's just apartments. Well, you know how apartment living is. You know, many of you, if you live in an apartment, you don't even know. Of course, we need to go back to his talk last night about our neighborhood. Boy, was I connected, because I have a very limited relationship with those in my own neighborhood where I live, and it's easy to think, well, I'm called to the campus. That's where I need to be. But anyway, in the apartments, they dump no furniture. Just come in with two bags. Put them in these apartments, and no contact with the rest of the college community until the beginning of the next week. And so she basically said she just cried that whole New Year's weekend. And I've heard many stories like that. So, any other?
One of the fellows that was international, and they needed bedding, they needed couches, and we just drove around the night before the garbage people came. We saw the stuff in the street, and we'd stop and ask them if we could just pick it up. And we got stuff that people were throwing out, and they really loved it.
Yeah, I love my pick.
I used to do that for us.
Yeah. Oh, good. I thought maybe it was say, Dad, I don't want that.
Yeah,
the students just love that. We'll get into a little more of that later here. What else? Any other ideas? Yes.
You've kind of alluded to it, but there's a statistic that says that very few of the international students get into it. Actually get into an American home. I can't remember. It's real low amount.
Yeah, the figures I've seen are anywhere from about 70% to 80% of the international students never darken or cross the threshold of an American home.
Right. And I think in light of that, but also just like in Leviticus, it talks about how we love the alien, you know, and to treat him as ourselves, love him as yourself.
19:33 and 34, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so, key verse.
Yeah, I think just simply for love's sake, just to love them.
Mm-hmm.
Initiate and reach out.
Yeah, and it's so much fun. Oh, they're just, that could be an idea you could put down here, is the fact that they're just so appreciative of every little thing you do. Now, I have an advantage over working with international students that I don't have working with Americans. Anybody want to try to guess what that is?
Age.
Right. What's the difference?
Respect.
Respect of gray hair. Yeah. You know, to many American students, especially that, young American freshman college student. He's on top of the world. He just, you know, anybody over 30 is over the hill. Yeah, right. And the internationals really have grown up often in extended families. Many of them actually were raised by their grandparents. Typically in China, people will have a child. They'll go back to work. The grandparents live with them. And the grandparents actually raise the children. We've had many couples over here, both one member of the family or both, who are studying in our universities. The child is back in China being raised by grandparents. And in some cases, I've talked to students who have never even seen their children. I mean, the wife was pregnant when they left, and they haven't been back since. And the baby's been born, and they haven't even seen it. My wife had to talk. One wife, she came to him, to my wife, saying, well, what should we do? Her husband came over while she was pregnant, had the baby. She came over after about so many months after the baby was born. She came over, and the grandparents were raising the child. The child was 2 years old. And my wife, you know, says, well, whose child is it? Whose responsibility, you know? And so they had somebody bring the child over, and they've been so thankful to that. But it just, the culture, it's a different culture. It's amazing.
Can I add one?
You bet.
How about we can learn from, Americans can learn from international just as much as international.
Very much so.
Good.
They bring a lot of fabric to relationships that we don't know. Americans are really bad about relationships.
Yeah.
When I travel overseas, it's amazing. Most everybody will invite me to their home.
And offer you something to drink. I mean,
take them out to dinner, yes, but never take them home.
Yeah. Yeah. I go in a student's apartment, and I, even if I'm there for 1 minute, they're asking me if I would like something to drink.
They're very relationally oriented. One of my good friends who's Muslim, he and his wife have got some of the most terrible horror stories of their encounters with Christians in the United States. It just makes you want to weep.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, they've had almost as many good encounters. So they're not... But man, you know, if the numbers had swayed, I would have never had a chance to share the gospel as openly as I have. Of course, I also get to hear about Islam, but...
Yeah.
I don't mind. I got a brand new Islamic Bible study Bible, and he has a NASB study Bible as well. Because his King James is almost worn out.
Wow.
So, but that's why I'm here, is I want to know how do I get to the next level?
Yeah.
You know, we relate, we go visit each other. I've got a teaching to play golf this spring if it ever stops raining.
It's a neat opportunity.
How do you get to the next level?
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll answer some of those questions. Okay. Anything else that let's move in then to a different area. Flip that over. What are the unique needs that international students have compared to American students? Transportation. Most of them don't have cars or any way of getting around, and especially in Texas. I imagine Oklahoma is pretty much the same way. The public transportation is not great. It's getting a lot better in Dallas than it was, but it's still... So we're taking them to the Social Security office to different errands and things like that they need to get around. What else? Yeah, just understanding the healthcare system and what's available. Now there is, of course, on our campus, there is a health service office that they can go to for emergency medical and stuff like that. But they just don't understand the system. And dental often is a big issue. And I've even had Chinese students fly back to China just to get dental work and fly back. It's cheaper for them to fly to China, get their free dental work done and come back than it is to pay for what they need to be done in the U.S. Yeah, it's amazing. What else as far as, yeah?
English,
okay. We have volunteer English teachers on campus that we recruit, come on campus and teach basic English, intermediate English, and what we call advanced accent reduction. Where that class, all they do is help those whose English is pretty good, but they just want to be better prepared for the professional community and work on their accent. And, of course, these teachers use the Bible in their English classes, and then we use that where the teacher will maybe, we can't have a Bible, since it's in partnership with the university, our classes, and the university provides us the classrooms and all, we can't do Bible study per se. We use the Bible for the English, but not Bible study, quote, per se, so the teacher has another Bible study off campus and then can invite the students to that.
I'm involved in ESL, English as a Second Language. I live in Wichita Falls, Lamar Baptist. We have that ministry there, and so I think that works out real well. It's related to people.
Yeah, and then we can send... In fact, we're working now, the new class is starting up, of sending students from our ICF, our on-campus International Christian Fellowship group, which is the same as the NAVS or Campus Crusade or other groups. It's just targeted to internationals. But it's a chartered student-led campus group that Bo and I have been involved with for a long time. And but we try to get those students over to invite the students in the English classes to come to ICF or tell them about other things that are available. What else?
They like to go out and visit the farm. They like to go see what the capital looks like. They like to go identify with someone else in their profession and visit their business and see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Getting them out on trips. We take them up to Arkansas camping. We take them down to Austin, different places, and it's building relationship. And I would say that's the key thing with international students. We kind of have this little joke among ourselves. We just keep saying, remember, it's relationships, 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 relationships. Because I tend to be a program man. You know, I love to orchestrate and get programs it was almost embarrassing. Our ICF president, my wife overheard him telling another student as they were setting up for ICF. I don't think you heard this, but Tony said to one of the other students, "Now, do it this way. Ray wants things done right." And he's a neat relational guy. The students just flocked to Bo. Often after ICF, I'm wiped out. My wife and I go home to bed. Bo rounds up all the students, and they go party for some time in the middle of the night. And so he's my expert on relationship building. He does a great job at that. He really loves hanging out with the students. What else?
Immigration.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that's a big one.
What was it?
Immigration.
Now at ISI, like we said, all souls are precious. At ISI, we target international students. That's ones with F1 visa, which is the typical student visa, or a J1, which is a government-sponsored student who's usually is paid for by either their government, the U.S., or a combination of both. I don't know how that all works, but compared to a working what I would call an immigrant, one who's planning to move here and stay here. Now, we realize that a high percentage, and especially back before 9/11, the visa problems, the economy and all that, a handful of students ended up going back to their country that we worked with. Now it's greatly increasing because the opportunities just aren't there, and it's harder for them to stay here. But our goal, or is why international students we feel strategic, is just what we talked about, is hopefully, and many of them even will work here for 5 years after they graduate to gain experience and then eventually go back. And the way China's economy is going, it's just exploding over there. And I think we're going to see many going back in the years to come. Fred Market, one of the heads of YWAM, travels the world constantly, said that by 2030, China would be equal and surpassing the U.S. economically, and by 2050, militarily. So if there ever was an important country to reach for Christ, and of course what's going on in China among Christians is just absolutely fabulous.
And when I mentioned like immigration, it's like not just like immigrating in the U.S., but they have many issues, you know, traveling overseas, you know, to get a visa or pass. If you talk to international students, they'll all relate if you talk to them about immigration issues. Just because everybody's got the similar issues and they're worried about it, and, you know, they really appreciate when you pray for them, or, you know, most of the time you cannot do any help. I mean, because basically it's government, you know, you don't have any access to anybody.
But sometimes you can make phone calls and do the research for them.
Maybe, yeah.
A friend of mine from Malaysia, I was meeting with him, and I got word through one of his friends that he had somehow understood that it would be better for him to go into Canada, go from Canada back home, from home back to Canada back into the U.S., and then back in. He ended up having to go to Malaysia for 6 months, work on paperwork to get back in. We had to take care of his car, his apartment, I mean, everything.
Yeah.
And he just misunderstood, you know, or got bad information. And, going through the U.S. red tape is difficult for an American, much less for someone.
Yeah, and it really is interesting.
I mean, just to be...
That's a really good point. Because
just to hold the hand during this time would be...
Yes, that's an extremely good point. I had forgotten that.
Okay, and there's lots of events that you can put on. We're going to talk about a little bit more about that. I think maybe we better move on, Bo. Let's do the slide presentation. We'll just kind of go through that. Then I'll have a handout that we're going to go through. So a lot of this stuff will be on the handout.
Can you guys see that?
You want me to turn the lights out? Okay. Go ahead, Bill. This is just to tell you what the mission and vision of ISI. As I said, it's basically a ministry much like NAVS or Campus Crusade, just targeted to international students to win them to Christ, disciple, and equip them to be effective. And the importance of relationship, the personal relationship, first with ourselves, as anyone, they see God, they see us, they see God through us. And then as we establish a relationship, the challenge to transfer that relationship to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? There are over 700,000 students and scholars studying in the United States at any one time. 60% are from the what's called, most of you I think are familiar with, the 1040 window, latitude, longitude area of unreached part of the world where there's a great emphasis to try to reach. 25% are from restricted access nations, and 80% in that 25% of nations is 80% of the world's population. In other words, 80% of the people in the world live in a nation that you cannot freely go into as a Christian missionary and freely propagate the gospel. 80% of the people to get into those nations, you have to go in some other way, as an English teacher or as a student or some other way. So showing you again the strategic importance of here's you're working with students, international students, who freely can go back to their country. Presently, there's over 200 countries represented here in the United States. Okay, they speak our language. They are eager for friendship. Obviously, it varies individually, but these students, when they come, they are hungry to learn American culture. And in many cases, they see the Bible as a part of American culture. They think we're a Christian nation. We know otherwise sometimes, no. But they see the U.S. as a Christian nation. They know they know the Bible is a part of all that. And they may not be interested in going to church. They're not interested in organizations, institutions, possibly. But often, I've had Chinese students walk up to me on the street on campus and just say, "Are you the guy that teaches Bible study? Can I get in one of your studies?" It's just fascinating. They're spiritually hungry. They're especially those coming from China. They know communism doesn't work. And they're looking for something that works. Now you have to realize, from those coming from China, that they're more interested in the practicality than they are truth. In other words, they're more interested in what works than they are what's true. And that gets into another whole apologetic discussion. But just keep that in mind, that they're very practically oriented. But as much as we dislike and grieve over what communism has done in the world, it's done one great thing in China. It just wiped out all the false religions. And so they're coming over as a blank slate. And as in contrast to Taiwan, a lot of our students now are from Taiwan because of the difficulties visa-wise. The Taiwanese students still are very heavy into ancestor worship. Well, it's one thing if you're worshiping this God and all of a sudden you realize that's not the right God, this is the right God. And to just that you're only doing is changing a relationship with God. But if your whole family, if you're an ancestor worship, that's not just a God you relate to, that's your whole family, your extended family, your parents, your grandparents. Because in ancestor worship, they're expected, the children, they're looking to the children to carry on that. And so for them to change is much harder than from somebody coming from an atheist background. And we don't see near as many students from Taiwan making decisions as we did when we had more students from China. And they, as we said, we are the world's future leaders. Threw up a bunch. We said on the other side, there's over 200 countries represented in the U.S. In our campus, most are from India. That's the case in many campuses around the country. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. Probably the second biggest group is Chinese, and then we just have a handful of scattering from other countries. And Bo, I added Sri Lanka on there just for you. States that have a lot of, in New York, almost 60,000 international students, and probably over 50,000 of them are in the New York City area. But you know, it's harder to raise a missionary to go to New York City than it is to Africa. How many of you would get excited about going to New York City? Not many. That's one of our biggest struggles is... Who wants to live in New York City? Yeah, yeah. It's just the cost of living.
The basic commitment
is there to
start with
then. Right. And some of our ISI staff have just taken up roots and just moved to New York because of that need. For years and years and years, we had one single woman serving in New York City at Columbia University. So it's a challenge. Boston area, where's Massachusetts, 29,000. About 24,000 or 25,000 of those students in Massachusetts are right in Boston. All those campuses around Boston. And we've got a much bigger ministry there, probably because more people are willing to live in Boston. But you can see the statistics, okay? Heads of state, we discussed this a little bit. The Secretary General of the United Nations went to MIT. The King of Jordan to Georgetown. The leader of the Bosnian Serbs and the author of Ethnic Cleansing, which we all remember that war and all that. Yeah, yeah. In other words, he was the author. He was the, bad guy, right, yeah.
It's a two-edged sword.
Uh-huh, yeah. It's one way or the other. They're going to be leaders. Either we reach them for good or Satan will use them for his plan. A former prime minister there of Israel went to Stanford. Okay. Here's some different programs that we offer that you may have on your campus, but just different things you can do. As I said, the International Christian Fellowship is the campus chartered organization. That's a student-led organization, as president and secretary and all that. And in fact, I can't even be a member of the ICF because I'm not a student or faculty at the university. That every Friday night we have a potluck dinner food. That's one commonality around the world, is the drawing factor of food, whether it's a church potluck dinner or we have a potluck dinner on campus every Friday night. Some of the students just come and eat and leave. Well, at least we've had a little bit of contact with them. And usually, like I had one Muslim student, first he'd show up and eat and boom, disappear right away. Then he started sticking around for a little conversation after the meal. And then he started showing up for we get together and we sing songs and give welcome bags out to new people and make announcements of upcoming events. He started sticking around for that. Well, then he started bringing other students. But then he would take them with him when he left after the big group before we break into our Bible discussion. After the big meeting, we break into subgroups. Like one right now is going through the Hope video. I don't know if any of you have run into it. It's a good Bible. It's a video in 12 segments that takes you from creation in Genesis all the way to Revelation. About a 3 to 9 minute video. Excellent. The quality of it is just excellent. And then we just break into small discussion groups and discuss for a while. The other one's going through Bill Perry. A well-known international student worker has a number of books and materials. He has one called something parables. But it's on the parables of Jesus. And so our other group, we give a short presentation on the parable and then break into discussion groups. Again, we try to keep it relationally oriented.
What was that first one you mentioned?
The Hope video. It's a CD video presentation. ISI, HESM, I think, I'm pretty sure it's not put out by ISI, but they could tell you, they've have them, or they can tell you where to get it. I should have that information, I'm sorry.
Is there a Bible study that goes with it, or anything else?
There's a discussion guide that comes with it, yeah. It's like 3 to 10 minute video, and then you break into discussion groups, and it's got a discussion guide.
3 to 10 minutes every time, or mm-hmm. Just one video one time?
No. Each of the 12, there's 12 sessions of video. Yeah. Some people just go through the whole thing, do it in a seminar type thing over a weekend or something.
And I guess what we used to do is sometimes we would have two groups. One group would be like Bible study, Christian learning. Mm-hmm. The other group could be just apologetics, or it could be just talking about current events. Because some people are not interested in talking about Christian stuff at all. But this semester we changed it and said, okay, we're going to have both groups doing Christian. So I think, I guess you have to kind of play with how it works.
Yeah, sometimes we'll just go through holidays of America. Because most holidays have a Christian point of reference. And we'll just have a discussion group that's discussing holidays. The Friendship Partner Program, my wife and I were volunteers in that for about 20 years before I came on staff. Just a neat, again, there's no way that we can work with, we've got over 2,000 internationals on our campus. No way that we can get them all involved in ICF or directly relating to them. The Friendship Partner Program gets that spread out. Some groups do it different ways. Like I know one group of guys up in Kansas, not Kansas City, but I can't remember where.
Wichita.
But yeah, Wichita. What they do is they require Americans who want to be friendship partners to go through a four-week study. It's in a book called How Will They Hear, put out by ISI. And it's a four Saturday morning training program, and then they can be an American friendship partner. They are recruiting the Americans out of churches to be a friendship partner. On our campus, the way I do it is where the International Christian Fellowship is our organization, I recruit volunteers out of churches to help with ICF in the Friendship Partner Program. I go to the church and say, this is your program. I want you to have ownership of this. I will provide you students. So I'll go in and do an orientation training for the church. We have orientation video, 55-minute training video that they can use for further orientation. But once the church gets up and running, I only work with one person in the church, the team leader. They have to have a team leader. And ISI has whole packages of binders, training manuals, and everything where you don't even have to have a staff person around. If you want to have a ministry to international students, contact ISI office. They have a person who will send you all the materials you need for training and everything a church needs to get started. And so I just work with that one person in the church as a team leader and then help them get students. I consider it their program. Garage giveaway. UTD, our university, provides us a free storage garage. So we collect furniture. In fact, my biggest joy is just running around in my pickup. Like, who was it that mentioned picking up stuff? Was that you? I'll be driving by and I'll see stuff that people have set out on the curb. But we have churches that sometimes overwhelm us with the amount of stuff. It just blows my mind. And then at the beginning of each semester, we have what we call a garage giveaway. And if it's big furniture, at the night before, we have a welcome party. At the beginning of each campus, we have a big welcome party. We bring in a square dance caller or a line dance caller or whatever. And it's other than that little slide presentation that I showed you when you first came in, that was just running with the music Friends Are Friends Forever and a short little invitation to ICF presentation. The welcome party is pretty much secular, but they can sign up for furniture there. And the English classes they can sign up, or in the Friendship Partner Program they can sign up. So on a Saturday morning then, we'll take big furniture right to their apartment, and then we take all the small stuff, bedding, kitchen utensils, small pieces of furniture, and we put them in a clubhouse and say from 11 to 12, come to the clubhouse. And then we, as each person comes in, we hand them a little slip of what's all going on, ICF, the English program, the Friendship Partner Program, so that they get that information. Okay? Airport pickup. Man, if you are the first person they see when they get into the country, what a blessing. A bond takes place immediately. We picked up one little gal from Malaysia, Borneo. Island of Borneo. And I remember she came in, when she came out of the air, we met her in the airport, and she came out, she saw her breath for the first time. You know, it was cold. It was January. It was the spring. It was a cold, and she was there for spring semester. It was a cold day. She saw her breath for the first time. She's so excited. And then we'd stop at the red lights, you know, and she, she was just in seventh heaven. And on the way, we were going to drop her off at some friends of ours who were going to be their host, because she came in on Saturday and she can't get into her apartment on campus until Monday. So I says, well, we're taking you over to our friend's house for the weekend. And now Sunday morning, they'll be going to their church, but you don't feel like, you know, you don't have to go with them or anything. You can just stay there at the home. I says, I don't know what, if you have any religious or spiritual background at all. And she says, oh yeah, I'm a Catholic, but I want to go see what their church is about. So she went, and it was a great service. And after the service, they came home, had dinner, and the wife went through the four spiritual laws, and she accepted the Lord. She hadn't even been in the country 24 hours. Of course, the advantage there, she had the good, solid Catholic. She came from a Catholic background, so she had the basic teach. She just didn't have the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That airport pickup can be great. The same way with temporary housing, as I just explained with this couple. If you're the first bed they sleep in, and it just creates a continual bond. And so we use volunteers. It just sometimes it's a couple days, sometimes it's a couple weeks. But we tell them in the front end that this is temporary. You know, this is not permanent. You've got to find. We'll give you 2 weeks to find a place to live. Of course, small group Bible studies, evangelistic studies, and of course we have discipleship studies for those who are Christians. But as I said, many students, they're just hungry to find out what the Bible study is. And I was in evangelistic Bible study for 4 years with him from China. Finally took him to, we had a combined staff student retreat at the Cove, Billy Graham's Training Center out in North Carolina. And finally there, he made the decision. And I'm still in Bible study with him 2 years later, now doing disciple. In fact, we're going through Jim Ward's book, The Godly Man Study. I don't know, excellent book for Christians, is the training of the students to just through the whole discipleship thing. Gene Ward, of course, has been around John Crawford and the NAS for years. He's passed on now, but excellent book called The Godly Man Study.
He's hospitalized.
Oh, I thought he passed on. Oh, he's still, okay.
But he's hospitalized. He's pretty much gone.
Oh, okay.
He's mentally, and
I picked up wrong information. Well, glad. Thanks for clarifying that. Okay.
We haven't heard from him in so long. Everybody knows what's happened.
Yeah.
So many of those people from that era are starting to pass on.
Oh yeah.
Leroy
Iams. Yeah. Special events, various retreats, road trips, as I mentioned, things like that. Evangelism and follow up. There's a lot that you could just different types of events, and we'll go through some of that in the handout here in a minute. How's our time coming? Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of time. Special events, especially camping trips. I remember back when I was first came to the NAVS in the military, Doug Shake, who was here. I don't know if any of you know Doug Shake's a little wiry guy that is here. He runs the all the communications at Glenn at the headquarters office and stuff. But we were both at Treasure Island together. And we would take military guys up camping in the Sierra Nevadas. Man, if you wanted to learn, find out, you know, what people are like, and if you want to demonstrate Christian attitudes, you know, that camping will do it because the food burns. I remember I took a whole bunch of guys up, and I never took a tent. Because in the Sierras, in the summer, it never rains. And so we're up there, and we had just thrown a tarp down on the ground. And sure enough, 3 in the morning, it didn't start raining. It started hailing and sleeting. And they all ran to the cars. I just took the edge of the tarp and rolled up in a cocoon. But, you know, things happen on a camp. Nothing ever goes the way it's supposed to on a camping trip. And so it's an excellent way to build relationships, find out where, you know, a person's heart, and you got to work on it as a Christian to demonstrate keeping a good attitude regardless of what happens. So we take them up. One of our staff has a ranch up in Arkansas near Fayetteville, and we take them up there camping and stuff, and it's a lot of fun. And, of course, then we get into leadership training, mentoring as they become Christians. that type of thing, and then national conferences. The constant goal of expanding their context of Christians, in other words, first they're just meeting you, they have a relationship with you, you want to change that into a relationship with other Christians on campus, and then within the context of other campuses, that's why we have area retreats, like spring break, we'll have all the campuses in Colorado come together as they can interact that way, and then at a national level, constantly expanding their context of Christian exposure. Okay? Just as an example, Alice, the girl on the right, was around our ministry for years, observing, being a part. She's from Taiwan. About 3 years ago, she became a Christian. Came to the Lord through a church Bible study. And then she began to pray for her best friend, Peggy, in the middle. And 2 years ago, Peggy became a Christian at our spring break retreat. And then the two of them started praying for their friend, Winnie. And then last spring break retreat, Winnie gave her life to Christ. Okay? And the next is just a picture of Alice's baptism at our church. Okay? And then this is the verse that you mentioned in Leviticus 19:33 and 34. When an alien, or I like to substitute in there, an international, lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The international living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself. I am the Lord your God. Okay? Thanks, Bo. Would you hand out the... right there in the box there. Nope. Okay, a lot of this we covered already. I'm just going to kind of go through this in about 5 or 10 minutes here. And then we'll have you do an evaluation. Good time. If you have any questions, now's a good time. Okay, in introduction, we already mentioned about the fact that we seek to reach students in who are international students versus immigrants is our target, but there are vital ministry with immigrants as well. The importance of relationships. And what I'm basically talking about here today is what I would call pre-evangelism. Once a student is a seeker, let's go back to your last, I think it's the last page, it's the one, looks like this, as a ministry model. Find that. Mine's in color. I'm privileged. You got black and white. but this is kind of our ministry model that we have put together, which is, you know, very common to, I'm sure, other illustrations that you've used before. But the idea of bringing a student from lost, first of all, from lost to looking, and that's what we call the pre-evangelism stage. In other words, that's when they're just observing your life. You're building a relationship with them. They're asking questions. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Into the looking stage. When a student gets to the looking stage, what we might call a seeker, where they're really hungry to do Bible study. They're really looking for spiritual answers. It's not just curiosity and questions, but real. Then at that point, there really isn't a whole lot of difference between working with internationals and working with anybody else. You're doing Bible study, inductive Bible study with them. You're bringing them along. And of course, the goal then to bring them to the loving God, the point of decision. After that is the follow-up, the discipleship, of learning to live the Christian life. And then once they're living the Christian life, then taking them on to becoming a leader, training them. As somebody once said, always have the end in mind. In other words, to be thinking about, okay, they're going to go back to their country. What are we equipping them, enabling them to do so that when they do go back to their country, they'll be able to integrate in. There's a huge culture shock when an international comes. At first, it's what they call the honeymoon phase. In other words, when they first come, like that little gal, you know, wow, you know, this is all so exciting and everybody's so nice and et cetera, et cetera. But then they go into that culture shock, usually 3 to 6 months, of which they're lost, they're missing their family, they're homesick. I remember when we sent our daughter went to Messiah College way in Pennsylvania, and she wanted to be far away from anybody. She wanted to go where nobody knew her, you know. She was going to be the great adventuress. And man, she got there, and about 1 month later, she's crying on the phone. I want to come home. So they had a fall break at Messiah's, and it just happened to be when homecoming of her high school was. So mom and dad gave in and flew her back for high school homecoming and her fall break. But then after that semester was over, man, she was fine. We saw her twice a year after that. But in the international students, you can imagine what they're going through with a whole new culture. But when they go back to their home country, they go through a reverse culture shock. Because they have become Americanized to some degree or another. And all of a sudden they're thrown in back into a totally different culture again. Even though it's the culture they originally came out of, it has changed while they've been gone. And they've changed. And so you need to be thinking of that as you're working with them to prepare them back. The arrows show, notice the arrows constantly going back. The importance of students reaching out. I told you this Muslim student, we're still on a friend. He's moved down to South Texas, and he would keep bringing students over. He never became a Christian, never interested in spiritual things. I took him to the Passion film, film, and he, as he's walking out of the theater, says, "Man, that was right on the Bible, wasn't it?" And I said, "Yeah." And then I went over to his apartment and tried to, you know, see where I could take it from there. And he's a very secular Muslim. He's not a devoted Muslim. But he kept bringing all these people. So he was on that chart, wasn't even a Christian, but he was going back and bringing the lost to ICF. And of course, many of the best evangelists are those who just accepted Christ, like the three girls, who they're just brand new Christians themselves, but they're excited. And they go back and reach their friends who are just back on the other side and bring them up. So that constant deal, or a mature Christian going back and helping a young Christian up. But once you get into that phase, it's not that. So I'm mostly concentrating on the pre-evangelism aspect, because that's what's so uniquely different with internationals because of their needs. Prayer. On campus, we have a Sunday night prayer meeting where Bo and I, we meet at the president's apartment, ICF president's apartment on campus. I remember back when I was in NAV ministry, college campus ministry, and I remember asking, I sent out a questionnaire to kids, this was years ago, saying, what is the most exciting part of to you, what's your favorite part of our NAV ministry? And I thought they were going to say, man, the spring break trips we took to Mexico and the things we did here, or this trip here, or the big rally we had every week, or the big meeting we had every week, and things like that. They said, by majority, it always hit me so hard I'll never forget it. They said it was the Sunday night prayer meeting. Because we'd get together, play, guy had a guitar, play a few songs, and pray. Share prayer requests. And that was the highlight of the Christians that I had given this survey to. And to me, this is one of the highlights of our ministry now with internationals, is that Sunday night prayer meeting. It does mean driving 7 miles back over on campus on Sunday night, 9 o'clock at night, to meet with students. It is interesting. All my church stuff is 6:30 in the morning, huh, Bob? And all the campus stuff, they want to do all their Bible studies at night. I think he has, Bob, Bo, didn't you have a study that started at 10:30 or something?
10:30.
Yeah. So all the student stuff is 9, 10 o'clock at night. You talk about burning the candle at both ends. That'll wear you down in a hurry. Fortunately, my office is at home. I can take a nap. As I mentioned, the key of building relationships. International students love stories. So Bible, real emphasis on Bible stories. Bill Perry, the one who does the parables book, also has one on story Bible stories, and it's basically the, you know, the stories of Joseph and they love the stories. I talked about the trips. And the pre-evangelism is answering a lot of those questions about apologetical type questions. I'm fortunate. I spent 20 years with Probe Ministries, so I got a bunch of buddies. If you know of Probe in Dallas, Texas, it's basically an apologetic ministry that does seminars on preparing students for the secular campus, Christian students. They have a lot of books, apologetic books out. You can just go on the web at probe.org, but try to find people in your community who are good at apologetics, because most of us, you know, we might be good in this one little apologetic area, but there's such a broad area of people that can answer those questions, and get them involved, coming in and sharing.
Ministries
website. Just probe.org. Yeah, probe.org.
It's on the packet. Yeah, I just marked.
Yeah.
They have a whole audio section, but they have a lot of audio.
And they have links off to other ministries too. A number of links that you can link off to Campus Crusades, graduate ministry, and so on. So, obviously, you have to focus on the physical and emotional needs of the students. The spiritual needs may not come up until later. That's why the relationships is so important. No surprises. I put on there the code of ethics that ISI follows. There's a national organization of Christian workers called ACMI, Association of Christian Ministries to Internationals. In fact, their big annual national conference is June 3rd through 5 in Portland, Oregon. Anybody wants to enjoy the beauty of Portland, Oregon, it's up at Pacifica College or something like that. And I'm hoping to go. I don't know if I'll make it. But the code of ethics, and if you look back on that page, that the code of ethics?
Yeah.
No. That's just the conference is all about how to reach international students. From evangelism to discipleship, it covers the whole realm of working with international students. But the ACMI, June 3rd through 5th in Portland, Oregon. And again, you could go on the web at acmi.org and pick up on that. But on the code of ethics is, what ACMI has done is agreed to what's called the NAFSA, the National Association of Foreign Student Advisors. On every international on every university campus, there is they may not call it that, but it's a foreign student advisor who is the official person that works with the visas and all that kind of stuff. They've got quite a job. And if you can get into, what you want to do is try to have a good relationship with that international student office and that advisor. And they have a national organization, National Association of Foreign Student Advisors, and they have a code of ethics, which ACMI has agreed to, and of course our organization has adopted into it. And that's the main part is the community part. I didn't put out the whole thing, just the part involves community. And the last point there, D, provide adequate orientation for volunteers and participants in community programs so that they may understand each other, may interact constructively. The organization should make it clear that surreptitious deceptive, coercive proselytizing is unacceptable. Notice it doesn't say proselytizing is unacceptable because it depends on how you define that word. In other words, any evangelism would be proselytizing in many, it depends on the context. And mostly because of many Christians that have gotten involved in the organization and the influence they've been able to have, they've been able to make sure that this stays the way it is. And so I just summarize. This summary in the bottom is my summary. In summary of the above code of ethics, always give a student advance notice of any religious or spiritual activity so that they have opportunity to accept or decline the invitation without feeling any pressure on them to accept the invitation. For example, never invite a student to dinner or another seemingly secular activity and then inform them afterwards that there is a Bible study and ask them if they want to stay for it. Also, we must ask them beforehand if they would like to know how one becomes a Christian before we share the plan of salvation. And then repeats that last sentence again. So that, I think, is extremely important if you want to keep good relationships with the university and so on. And I really plug that, especially, and it's, you know, because you always have those people, especially in churches, that you don't have a real good relationship with, that there's always that charger who witnesses everything that moves, which is a good quality, but it can run into problems, and we've run into a few problems with that just throwing surprises on the students. But we should always be prepared, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, to give an answer to every man that asks us as a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. We already went through our little DF Dallas Fort Worth model that was back there. I think we've talked about in the pre-evangelism stage down there, the goal to create an environment where they are challenged to see a Christian worldview as an alternative to the one they currently have. And that's where the apologetics, but it's all based on relationship, that you need the relationship first. Just let them see you living out the life. Have them around you. The with him principle, Mark 3:14, and Jesus, you know, called the disciples that they might be with him. And they might send them forth to preach. And that with them principle can start even before they become a Christian. Just, you got to spend the time dealing with the misconception. Man, do they come with misconceptions of Christianity and what it is. And you just deal with those. Demonstrating, living out the Christian worldview. Not just preaching it, living it out. Being exposed to Christian students and Christian volunteers. The students come, they love at ICF on campus. We have volunteers that come in, committed volunteers that come in and help bring food and stuff. And they love that interaction. Bo, you have anything else to add?
You know, we can tell them a lot of Bible stories and things like that, but what they really like, or, I mean, even for us, how do you experience daily Christ? You know, for them to see, okay, I had this issue, I prayed about it, and this is how it turned out. You know, I think that's the very important aspect, because you can tell them about apologies and everything, but till they know what, how does it affect me today, you know, it's not really And one more thing is, like, they really like to make friends with Americans. And most of the international students, if you talk to them, most of them say it's very hard to make friends with Americans. Yes. And it's just, I understand, so, you know, you have the language, you tell a joke, you don't understand, you know, it's not easy, so it's almost like a sacrifice. So, but I would encourage, you know, if you feel like to do international student mission, just making friends, just, you know, hanging out with them somewhere. Just go to coffee, you know, you don't have to do the ministry the whole time, but just being friends with Americans would be, they really want to do that.
Amen. Thanks.
And one more website is InterVarsity has an international student website, and they have a lot of good resources for Bible studies, things like that. So if you go to intervarsity.org, there's a link for international students. It's not on this thing.
It may be. I don't remember.
InterVarsity Press?
No, just intervarsity.org.
Okay.
Well, InterVarsity Press will probably take you the same thing.
Yeah. I was going to say, one comment that I've heard often is that Americans are friendly, very friendly, but they don't make very
good friends. Yeah.
And because, you know, we view our schedules and they're almost sacred because we not only have this much time to hang out with you. And I spend a lot of time trying to come up with activities for internationals to do on our campus, but they're really not. It's nice when we have something to do, but they really don't care. For them, it's more important that we just go and be with them. Mm-hmm. And especially in those first 3 weeks, their doors are always open. Mm-hmm. And an encouragement that I've received is that one of the students said, you know, the thing about you guys, out of all the Christians on campus, is that you guys come and be with us. You know, we're not always inviting them to do things. We just show up and be with the Lord. And that's hard for us to do because we got schedules, we got appointments, we got one-on-ones. And I try to
keep that right. Amen. Right on, right on. On the second page, you've just a little further breakdown on the pre-evangelism. Again, it's that time in which they're just observing your life. They're asking questions, mostly out of curiosity. You know, why do you do this? Or is this really true about this or that? It's they're not a seeker. They're not searching for spiritual truth so much as they're just curious and you're trying to answer their questions, explaining things and allowing them to assimilate. And as I mentioned, this one Chinese guy, I was in evangelistic study with him for 4 years before on a weekly basis. Well, he didn't always show up, but supposedly on a weekly basis before, you know, he came to Christ. And we were just working. I'm going through Jim Moore. Gene Moore's book. One of the lessons, we just finished was doing your testimony and writing out his testimony. And it was just such a thrill as he, you know, wrote out his testimony. And it's such a joy to, and he was sharing how, you know, I'm a Christian now, but the struggles are still there. And I realize Christianity isn't an easy life, but Jesus is with me. And it just, wow, it's, you know, get you charged up again. So the steps of pre-evangelism, just the attraction, that first contact, food, whatever you're using to attract them, and making sure your words and your actions agree, bringing in the apologetic answers to interpreting their questions, and then hopefully moving on to seeing if they're interested in Bible study. And it depends on where they're coming from as to their interest. Building a relationship, as I mentioned, Bo is great at just hanging out with students. It's what we call an incarnational model. Some students come and you just have your program, and boy, they'll just leap into it. But there's a lot of students where it has to be more incarnational. You need to get in their group. You need to join them and build a relationship in their context. And then draw them into an ever-expanding context of Christians, providing for their needs. Cultural sensitivity, I've given you a sheet there. I'm not going to spend time on that, but it just the difference. And remember that every culture is different. In other words, that sheet is not saying that all Americans, that these are typical American values. Not all Americans key in on these. Non-Western values. I'm not saying that all other countries are over here and America is over here. Everybody's individual. The countries vary quite differently. I'll be here through the day. If you want to talk one-on-one or about any of these type of issues, fine. I'd be glad to do that. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that sheet. But it just gives you some of the types of cultural things that you may run into. The Chinese, they want to experience American culture. They see the Bible as a part of that, as I mentioned. They're more interested, though, in what works, what's practical, than they are. They're not in a big search for ultimate truth. They just want to know how to get by, what works, how can they best fit into American culture. And that opens doors to evangelism. The Taiwanese, they're looking for enjoyable relationships. Where the ones coming from mainland China usually don't have any money. They don't have a car. They're more dependent. The Taiwanese, many of them have more money than I can imagine. They're driving new Toyota Camrys. We had just a bunch of Chinese that over summer break, they drove from Texas to Montana to Seattle to Southern California through the Grand up to the Grand Canyon back 7,000 miles in 3 weeks, just seeing the country. The same group of students took off over Christmas break, went to Florida, New York, Chicago. I mean, it just blows my mind. They are not needy material-wise. Now, they're different. Again, it's just like everybody in America isn't rich, even though they think everybody in America is rich. They're not all rich, but the average difference between a mainland Chinese student and a Taiwanese student is considerable. The Taiwanese are just want American friendship, and you have to build through that relationship. Hindu students and Muslim students, Middle East and India, are much more comfortable within their own culture, and that's again where you really need incarnational ministry. Where you need. So what we have done, Bo, is working with a small group of Indian students that we have, and we're trying to get Abu. I don't know if you know Abu with the Navigators. He's here at the conference from Singapore. Bo and him have been spending some time together talking about how we can get this all together. But we started. Indian student is not going to come to International Christian Fellowship. So we started a little group where why don't you tell them about it? What are you doing?
Basically, we just started praying for them initially. Just once a week, we have a prayer group. We just pray for the students on campus. And once a month, all we're doing is we get together and have some Indian food and watch a movie. And it's just a Hollywood movie. You know, we don't have any discussion, nothing. It's just a kind of building relationship, that's all. And hopefully what we're planning to do once a semester, we will try to have an evangelistic kind of thing for all the relationships we build through the semester. Because most of the Indian students, actually, they know about Christianity more than the Chinese or the Taiwanese. They know what it is. They just don't want to have anything to do with it. So if you tell them to come to church or something, they probably won't. But if you just have a time of getting together, they'll come. And I think Indian students also still like American friends. So I think that's commonality towards everybody.
Thanks. Okay, I'm sorry, our time's up. Page 25 on your booklet is the evaluation. Sorry to cut it off. I could go on all day. There's no more fun ministry, as those of you that are already in it know. It's just a pure joy. Like all ministries, it has its struggles and frustrations, but the results are so rewarding. Anyway, fill out the evaluation. If you have other questions, I'll be around all day. We are leaving after the evening meeting tonight, so won't be here tomorrow.